Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There are a lot of slang words in every generation. Our young people find ways to express themselves that are different, and we add them to our dictionary. When I was a youngster, the word of the day was groovy. I'm dating myself. Other generations would have said out of sight. There are some words that are co-opted by a new generation, and it's not a new word, but they twist the meaning of it. Like if someone says, that's sick, it doesn't mean ill or twisted, it means really great. And so we have to keep up with these things. But there is one word in the urban slang that I think is wonderfully descriptive. And the minute I heard it, I did not need a dictionary in order to understand its meaning. The word is meh. M-E-H, meh. And meh means not great, not bad, just uninspiring, just there. So when a young person says to you, when you say, how are you? And they say, meh, you know, things aren't too great. Wonderfully descriptive. Kind of describes the community of the Hebrews that was written to in our morning lesson. This group of people were very bright people. You can tell that by the letter itself. If you read Hebrews, you almost have to have a dictionary with you to understand it. It's very intellectual. And these people were second and third generation Christians. They had not been eyewitnesses to the events, but they believed those events. At one point in their community, there had been persecution. And you know, whenever there's trouble, whenever there's persecution, people close ranks and take care of each other. I saw this the other day in El Paso when a man lost his wife to that mass shooting and he had no family. And the citizens of El Paso came out in droves to be with him. So persecution does not weaken us, it makes us strong. You know, in a family, when there's crisis, you pull together. So at one time in this group's history, they had persecution and they muscled through it and got through it and they were fine. But now it wasn't that things were bad and they were okay, but they were feeling meh. Life just had lost something. Have you ever felt that way? Things are not terrible, but they're not great either. And we want to be inspired, and we want to look ahead with some optimism, but we're just not feeling it. And so life takes on a gray hue. And that's what these people were experiencing. So the writer to the Hebrews wanted to stir them up. And he started to talk about faith and the joys of faith and the challenges of faith. So he was really trying to give them a pep talk. And he talked to them about some heroes. Now, unlike modern day folks, when we read these, some of us will read those names and not know who they are. But the people in that day knew exactly who the writer was talking about. And he talked about people, these heroes of the faith, that they would know automatically when they heard that name. They'd say, I know who that is. And I'm going to talk just about two of the list. One of them, one great hero of faith, was a man named Gideon. And when the angel of God came to Gideon, Gideon was hiding out because Gideon was frightened. His people were oppressed, and he was one of the oppressed. And the angel said to him, Hail, mighty man of valor. And he said, Who are you talking to? And when God gave him this great mission, said, you're going to form an army and you're going to defeat our enemies and your people will live in peace. He said, I don't think so. You've got the wrong person. But just in case it's me, I'm going to give you a test. And if you pass the test, then maybe I'll agree to obey you. And so he gave God a test, and the test was passed, and he said, that's not good enough. Could you give me one more chance? I want to do another test just to be sure. And so the test was, of course, passed. And Gideon went on to form an army. And it seemed like each time he was ready to form the army, God said, no, 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 you've got to do something different. And Gideon wasn't quite sure about that. But as we look at the life of Gideon and we see him as a hero, he was a hero not because of his failings, but because he looked beyond himself in obedience to something greater. And so we think of Gideon today as a great hero. Now we come to a man whose name was Barak. And Barak was the polar opposite of Gideon. Barak was a courageous man. He was a general of the army. So this man had distinguished himself many times, but he also was a prudent man. And at the time, his army would be compared with maybe sticks, stones, spears, and arrows, and the other army had 900 chariots of iron. It would be like going against Humvees and armored carriers. And so he knew it was not prudent to go to war. But God sent a prophet his way, and her name was Deborah. And she said, God said, we have to go to war. We have to rout these people from our area, and we need to do that. And you're the man to lead them in battle. And he said, no, I don't know about that. Now, he wasn't cowardly, but he certainly was prudent. So he said, okay, on one condition, I will go if you go with me. Now, that was unheard of, bringing a woman into battle. And she said, all right, then, if you insist, I will go, but then it will be known that a woman will defeat the captain. He said, that's perfectly all right. I'll share with the whatever woman comes with me. That's fine. We don't remember him for his doubt. We remember that he went into battle and he routed the enemy that day. So often, we think that our failures define us. The people that are mentioned in these great heroes of faith all had some flaws, but they looked beyond that to the prize, to the God of the universe who was going to take care of them and who was going to fulfill his mission through them. We are not the sum of our failures. And I believe that's one thing that the writer is speaking about when he said, let us lay aside every weight. Because so often we think that our failures define us and that because of our failures, we cannot do God's will. And one of the wondrous things about faith is these men of the Old Testament had to look at a promise from afar. But we who know Jesus know that he's not only the beginning of the race, he's not only the end of the race, but then he comes alongside us and runs with us. And so if we want to continue this race of faith, if we want to be faithful people, we need to look to Jesus and not look at what we lack. For you see, every encounter that we have this week can be touched with the divine if we keep our eyes on Jesus and if we don't look at our failures. One of the things that stuns me is even successful people have a dreadful fear, because I think if people know what I'm really like, all the success will go away because I feel like such a failure. And I believe that's an attack of the enemy, because we are all beloved in God's sight. I went to a training recently, and I heard a man who was, he's a very well sought after speaker in the role of juvenile justice and helping young people who are in trouble. And people come from all around to listen to his workshops. He's an excellent speaker. And he came, and when I saw him, of course, I didn't know who he was because I'm not in the field, but there were people in the field, experts in the field, when they heard he was going to speak, they packed out the place to hear him. And of course, he was excellent. He's helped with juvenile justice all over the country. And one of the things he tells the young people is, you are not your diagnosis. And then he told us his story. He had been a rabble-rouser and a juvenile delinquent when he was a young lad. And he said one of the caseworkers got his group together, and rather than telling them all the things that were wrong with them, he said, what do you love to do? When you look at yourself in the future, what do you see? And he said, I want to be an actor. He said, okay, I want you to get a group together, and I want you to put on plays, and I'm going to find you acting gigs. Well, he thought this was great. The man found a place for them to rehearse, and promptly after the first rehearsal, they were all kicked out because they hadn't cleaned up after themselves. They left things a mess. And so he figured that was the end. But this caseworker said, oh, I found you another gig. I found you another place to rehearse. Just remember to clean up after yourselves. He said, I had never been given a second chance in my life, and this man gave me a second chance. He said, it changed the trajectory of my life. And now he spends his life lifting people up. We are not the sum of our failures. When we look to Jesus, there is nothing that can't be done in this life. So, dear friends, if you're feeling meh, remember to look to Jesus. And remember that every encounter this week will be touched with the divine when we run the race with Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you enable us to run that race, that you walk and run beside us, and when we falter, you prop us up. And I ask that all our encounters this week, we will remember that we are your representatives in this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.